So I was having probably one of the worst days I ever had in my entire life, depression, I mean, just dark things. And God gave me some verses. He said, don't worry, Dale, I'm here with you, man. I'm not going to fail you. These human beings here on earth, they may have let me down my whole life, but I got a God that will not fail me. He said, be strong. Have courage. I know where you're at. Just in case you don't know that today, God knows where every one of you are at today. He knows what's going on. Maybe everybody else doesn't. Maybe we don't know what's going on. God knows what's going on with each and every one of us. That's something that He takes time to know what each and every one of us are. That's a God who won't fail. I made a kind of a crazy statement earlier, and Randy said, well, you're waiting for God to fail? Because I said, God hasn't failed me yet. And I used that word yet, and Randy said, so you're waiting for God to fail you? No, I'm not. What I really was implying is God never failed me in the past, and I know He's not going to fail me in the future. That's what I wanted to tell him.
Yeah,
God has been good to me. Kind of paraphrase. He really thought I was waiting for God to fail, and I wouldn't wait for God to fail. You know, gosh, I mean, I'm on part 6. Of Proverbs 14, verses 9 through 17. Listen to me. 6 parts and 6 verses in one book. And people are missing out on the whole Bible. Are you kidding me? I mean, just 6 verses, and what has God given us in 6 verses? That whole Bible is full with this. So we're going to be back in Proverbs. I'm finishing up. This is it. This is what the Lord gave me some weeks ago. And we're going to start... I hope I brought it. No, I didn't. I'm going to start off with a poem that my mother-in-law sent us, and I thought it was good. I think we should listen to it more. But it says, "Happy moments, praise God. Difficult moments, seek God. Quiet moments, worship God. Painful moments, trust God. Every moment, thank God." Isn't that, even through hard times? The Bible tells us to be faithful in all things. Go ahead and do that sometimes and see how hard your times really are. You know, when I start in hard times and depressions, when I start looking and thanking God for the things that I do have, my hard times don't look so hard anymore. My bad times just don't seem as heavy as they were a little while ago when I just start thanking God. There's a reason why we go through things. But anyway, we're going to go to Proverbs 14 and start in verse 17. And we'll finish that up this week. This will be it. But I tell you, God hammered away. I mean, God is good. And thank God I have my wife who can help me. She's good on the computer and that. She types my stuff for me and all that. She's my tech on the website. She takes care of all that stuff. Thank God I don't have to worry about that stuff. My wife doesn't. What a blessing to have a wife that can go on there and put on whatever has to be put on. She puts some awesome stuff. I hear a lot of good compliments about the webpage. That all comes from her. I don't do it. I don't have nothing to do with any of the tech stuff. That's all her. And it's not a huge website. But I'll tell you, the other day we posted something about who can preach. And since that, we got 154 hits in one day. That's almost 200 people in one day on that website. That is insane. That is absolutely insane. But, we're just looking, and a lot of it comes from, thoughts for the day. A lot of it comes from the Thursday nights. A lot comes from the Thursday night. People are really hitting on that Thursday night Bible study. And that's what it's for. That's what it's for. Black Creek is out there, and it's out there. The preacher's out there. People are hearing it, man. That's a blessing. That, they can hear and learn. Now, that when you first started coming to this church, you looked at the pastor like, what is this doing? And then you started realizing, my gosh, he's only teaching the Bible. Now just imagine all over, maybe possibly the world, but at least in the United States, there's people going, gosh, this guy's teaching the Bible. Now their interest is peaked, and guess where they're at? They're in the Bible, maybe reading it differently. Maybe seeing little things differently. That's what God wants. He wants people to come back. I was talking to my wife, if you take this the wrong way, please don't. But I believe there's a devil Christianity with a devil Bible. Okay? Right. And he's got these people absolutely fooled and brainwashed. I mean, I remember one time somebody called me brainwashed. I said, thank God I'm brainwashed, body washed, blood washed, mouth washed. I'm good to be washed when I'm washed in. I'm happy to be washed in that. But there's other people. go out there to the devil. It's just brainwashing. Amy was telling me a little bit about somebody she works with who's out there doing all these mission trips and all this and that. She's out there fornicating, drinking, and everything else and thinks she's saved. That's the devil's Christianity, man. Bring that devil Bible, NIV, ASB, whatever name you want to put on that thing, and that's what they're doing. They're deceived, they're tricked. They think that everything's okay. I'm telling you now, I got a Bible that says differently. I trust this Bible over anything in this world. Why? Is it just a fun game that I play? Absolutely not. This Bible has proved itself over and over again to me. I have no reason right now as we stand here today to ever doubt that this is the Word of God. None. Why? It showed me who I was, and it showed me what I needed to do, and now it's showing me what I need to do in my life. I wouldn't trade that for a million years. A pill couldn't do that. A psychiatrist couldn't do that. A psychologist couldn't do that. But this King James Bible did it when I got washed in the blood, and I'm alright. I'm alright. But I still stand here before you today, as I said, as an imperfect man with a perfect God. He saved me. A perfect God. I believe that. Proverbs 14:17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. A man of wicked devices is hated. Let me give you a definition of wicked devices. I have to write stuff down. A wicked device is a plan, especially a bad one. A heinous crime, lewdness, mischief, a wicked purpose, a thought of the wickedness in the mind. A wicked device. How many wicked devices are we seeing here? I'm going to explain a little bit. I had this little conversation with my wife last night, and I just believe God gave this to me. I'm just going to keep going here. You'll understand. Wicked devices are from angry people. Wicked devices are from angry people. I'm going to tell you why. Why? Think of when you're angry and the thoughts that go through your heart and your mind. Think of those things. When you're that angry, you just got all this stuff going through your hearts and your mind. And then all of a sudden there's that person out there that makes those things a reality. They do what's in their heart and their mind. That's a wicked device. A lot of that comes from angry people. How else are you out there doing this to these little kids? How else are you out there doing this crazy, outlandish stuff to people or to yourself and have no thoughts about it besides you have that anger and that bitterness in your heart? I'm telling you now, angry people come up with wicked devices. I'm not saying a non-angry person can't, but I'm telling you more so now that them wicked devices come from an angry person's heart. I'm not going to get ahead of myself. Think of when you're angry and the thoughts that go in your head and your heart and your mind. When people take these angry feelings and thought, they actually perform them. This is what the Bible calls a wicked device. Look at the devices people use to get money. Lure young people and children to exploit them, to kill them, to gain control over people, torture them, to maul them. I mean, these people are hated. Are they not hated? These people are hated. Why? They come up with these wicked devices. The thoughts that are in your very heart, you know what? You can make them a reality, son. You can make that a wicked device, and you can make it come alive just as well as anybody else can. Anger. Anger. That anger will do that to you. People are out there shooting each other, stabbing each other, doing all this other kind of stuff. Why? They're angry. Very angry. They have that anger inside of them. Let's go on. It's okay to get angry. The Word tells us to go to Ephesians 4. You all know what I'm going to quote here. Ephesians 4. 26 and 27. It says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Giving place to the devil is giving the wicked devices that's mentioned in Proverbs 14. Do you know the devil sits there? He don't have to do much with angry people, but sit there and look. The Bible says that our heart's desperately wicked above all things. So we know that that's even more wicked than the devil himself. So he sits there and waits for your thoughts. Your angry thoughts, and he takes them and runs with them. He don't have to plan anything. You do it for him. It's all sitting there right in your heart, waiting for him. He's just waiting there with his legs crossed, saying, let's see what's going on here. Your angry thoughts, your angry things that are in your heart, the devil's going to run away with it. You're more wicked. Your heart's more wicked than him. He likes to have plans like that. He likes to run away with those type of things. He likes you to go ahead and let that stuff out. Because now it's his. No, guess what? He's got a vice in your life. Now you got a wicked device that you got to handle. Now you got to deal with him. But let's go on. Oh, how the devil loves to run away with the thoughts that come into our hearts and our mind. The Bible says, I just read that, it was Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is desperately wicked above all. And that includes the devil. The devil takes our thoughts and turns them into wicked devices and puts them into action. He loves when we agree with Him. When we give place to for Him in our hearts, our minds, and our lives. But when we allow the devil and sin to mix with our anger, we always deal foolish. Just think of the times that are in your heart when you're angry at something or somebody. Just think of what happens. Is it a winning thing? Do you win when you're angry? I mean, because, you know, I know when I used to get angry, my mom could vouch, I like to hurt people. But did I win? Did I really gain something by hurting somebody? I mean, was it really a good thing whether I hurt somebody physically or mentally? I mean, was that a good thing? That was a wicked device that I like to use. It was a device called fear. That's what I like to put in a device. I like to put fear in people. That's my wicked device. And you know who likes that? The devil likes that. The devil likes that. And you know what? We like to do that with our kids. Mm-hmm. We like to do that with our children. We like to go ahead and put that fear. Now, they got to be feared. That's that device. You know what? Our children are never going to see anything but past our anger. You can be good 6 days a week and then go ahead. And every seventh day, get angry. That kid's going to hang out to that seventh day every week.
Right.
He's going to forget all about all the rest of the 6 weeks that you were going to church. He's going to forget all about that stuff. He's going to hang on that anger. It's going to hang on that anger. And I try to be so cautious when I deal with my children because I do not want them hanging on that anger. I don't want them knowing that anger. I don't ever want them practicing that anger. Because that anger is a wicked device in our family. Hey, you know how quick that can turn. Huh? What a device that would be in our family for that anger to come back. Men, we get angry with our wives. And then we'll be what? We want them to be afraid of us because we're some tough guy. Huh? Because we're the ones. God never intended for my wife to be afraid of me, ever.
That's right.
He didn't say go ahead and make your wife afraid of you and everything that you do, she has to do. That's not how it goes. My wife does it because I love her, I respect her, I take care of her. We do things together. I have to make the final decision in my house. God has put me in charge of that. But do I ever not include you in anything? Sometimes she makes better decisions than me. Why would I lean on her? But my anger, me telling her and forcing her and putting my finger in her face telling her she got no choice, not doing nothing. God never intended me to do that to her. Matter of fact, He said, don't be bitter towards your wife. Why? We won't hear your prayers for nothing. You might as well just hang it up, buddy. Go ahead and be what? You know, mad at your wife and see what happens. Hang it up. God put anger in us for a failure to use the right way. What have we done with anger? Come on, man. Listen, it's quiet in here. You know why? Because there's people using anger foolishly in this room.
That's right.
God gave that to us for a reason, but not for us to abuse it. Do you know anger is abuse? It's a form of abuse. I can abuse my kids just as well, or my wife, or elderly people, or friends, just as well with my anger as I can with my fist. My mother would sit there and she could tell you stories of things that her father and all that used to say to her. It was more hurtful to her and his anger to hear that stuff than what he used to do to them. People get over stuff physically quicker than they do with somebody using their anger on them. It scars them bad. I hear it all the time. All the time. How many people are like, yeah, they'll start talking about the physical stuff, but then when they start hammering away, when somebody was angry at them and started doing the things they do, they hang on that anger and they just keep going and going and going. That's the thing, you know, they're crying and they're sad and they just can't believe they were treated that way. And they had left the physical stuff way behind. Yeah, it bothered them, but not like that anger did. Not like when somebody just pulled apart, torn up. I mean, you could have to tear them down with your hands. You could just tear them down with your mouth. That's a device that the devil likes to use on us. Do I fall in that trap? I sure do. I am not perfect. That's why I stand up here today and told you I'm here as an imperfect man saved by a perfect God. He's training me though. He's training me. He's training me. I got my boots on. I'm strapped up. I'm ready to roll. It's hard. I never said it was easy. But I told Pastor today, I said, Pastor, the things that I learned in my life now, I wouldn't trade for $1 million. You can have it all. Keep it. I don't want your garbage. I'll stay here in the King James Bible and learn what I'm learning. I'll go through what I'm going through and be a happy man. Happy. How many of you guys can be happy in depression? There's joy in depression sometimes. I get joy in that stuff. I mean, now I'm not happy because I'm depressed, but you know what? I still smile. Do I still not laugh? Play with my kids? Hug you? kiss you, go to church and everything else? Yeah, I sure do that. But I tell you what, before I got saved, I didn't have that. I just didn't have that kind of stuff. Hey, you know what? Thank God. Thank God we have a God who loves us. And He loves our household. You know what? I can focus on me and my house because I know God loves my house. We couldn't go to church for whatever reasons. Me and my wife and my kids miss the house of God. I mean, we miss it. We miss being. We're like, gosh, it just seems like forever since we were in church, man. I mean, that's a good thing. Even my kids. Last night, Luke got a haircut. He said, Dad, all I need is some new snow. I can look like Tim McVeigh. I'm glad he looks up to a Tim McVeigh. I'm glad he looks up to a pastor. I'm glad he looks up to the men of God that are around him. I'm glad it's not some bozo out there that he's looking up to. I'm glad it's not some clown out there with a big old afro thing they put in their hair or whatever. I'm glad he's looking up to men. I'm glad. You know, go ahead and be like a Tim McVeigh. I'm happy with that. My daughter, she looks like her mother. She got this almost the same matching skirt. Do you know how happy that made her to wear a matching skirt as her mother? I mean, just as happy. And what is wrong with that? Is there, you know, we're the ones that are crazy. Christians are the ones that are crazy. Why? Because we can have happiness because our kids want to be like us. How many parents do you know? How many kids want to be like their parents out there today? How many kids out there, they have to have some fake person that's not even a real person, and that's who their hero is? A hero is somebody who's going to tell you about yourself, tell you the truth, love you, pray with you, get on their knees, and do whatever it's going to take to be with you. That's somebody's hero. That's somebody who should be looked up to. Not these clowns out there that are making millions of dollars off your money and then leave you broke in the dust. They don't even care about you. You think a movie star or a rap guy or a country singer, you think they really care about you? Do you think they care about you? Why aren't they sitting here taking care of you then? Why aren't they praying for you? They're over there in a $1 million mansion house riding around in cars and don't give a rip about you. Nothing. They don't care less about you. If you think I'm playing, then how come they're not helping you move? How come they're not feeding your children? You tell me that today. Why aren't they here doing it? But you go ahead and look at people in the house of God and they'll do it. They'll pray with you. They'll suffer with you. They'll help you out as much as they can financially. That's what we are called to do, man. That's what a church family becomes. Angry. I get angry at foolishness. You know, God has taught me how to use my anger in a better way. And am I always perfect at it? No. But boy, I don't get angry like I used to. But the stuff I do get angry about now is worth getting angry about. Just foolishness. People believe it's okay to go out there and do the crazy stuff they do. The devil loves to agree with our hearts when we give place to him in our minds and our lives. There's never been a time that I've allowed the three things, the anger, the sin, the foolishness, to mix, and there's been a good outcome. A lot of people, including loved ones, have paid a great price for me mixing all this crazy stuff. Amy paid a great price before I got saved. Lou paid a great price before I got saved. There was a time I couldn't walk by Lou without him jumping. There was a time my wife just knew she was getting yelled at and pushed around and all that crazy stuff. Because there was a point that I was out of control. My anger was out of control. There was nothing good about it. It wasn't always peaches and cream for me and Amy. Things didn't always fly right for me and my wife. Because here I was, walking around thinking that because I could beat somebody up, that I was a man. It doesn't take a man to beat somebody up. It takes a man to stand next to his wife and kids.
Amen.
They go through what we go through and still have a love for each other and a love for the house of God and a love for the Bible, a second to none. And you know what? We get looked at like we're funny and that, you know what? We're so past all that garbage, we don't even care. I didn't go out and buy these digs for anybody in here. I went out and bought these for me. I know it looks expensive, but I got them from the Salvation Army. How do you like that? Huh? And I went out and bought a bunch of them. Why? Because this is how I like to dress. I feel comfortable this way.
Amen.
Nobody's making me do this. Pastor, when he said that today, he doesn't force anybody to dress a certain way. But I just feel that it was time for me. I told my wife last night, I said, honey, I think it's time for me to get rid of my jeans. I'm going to start wearing khaki pants. Why? That's between me and God. And it's okay for me to do that. Why? It's okay for you to do what you want. How come I can't do what I want? My God. If he's put that on my heart for me to go ahead and get, I don't wear sneakers. Did I get rid of my sneakers? I don't wear sneakers anymore. Is it okay for you to wear them? Go ahead. I'm just telling you something that's for me. For me. This is something for me in my heart. But I tell you, if I was an angry person right now, me and my wife wouldn't be together. If I had the anger that I used to have. You see, I told Pastor earlier, some miracles happened in my life, Pastor. One of the miracles was my anger is gone.
Amen.
I mean, I still get angry, but it's not anger. Like, anger. I get angry over foolishness, over crazy, stupid things. Like the way people are living their life. You're going to call yourself a Christian and go and live a stupid life. Don't tell me. I don't want to hear that nonsense. I told Amy, I said, what happened, Amy? I said, we're looked at like we're fools because we like to be in church. And there's a lot of you guys in here who love church. You love to be here. And you know we're all looked at like fools? Like we're the crazy ones. Because we like to hear, you know, preaching. We like to go to, we'll travel down to Georgia and all that kind of stuff. It's, we're the crazy ones because we have happy lives. Even you single moms, you got smiles on your face. You're happy. Things are going right. That's good. But we're crazy. We don't drink. We don't drug anymore. We're the ones who are crazy because we like to hear preaching. Good. Call me crazy then. Let me be crazy. I'll be crazy. I'm crazy. Yeah, I'm crazy. Crazy as they ever came. Make me crazy. I've got to read Proverbs 27, verse 3. A stone is heavy, and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. A fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Those are heavy things. And right now, I can't lift a lot of heavy things. Thank God for Timmy. He was only supposed to bring in a few things. He ended up bringing a whole ton. 50 bags is a ton. That's what he ended up bringing. I thank God for that, man. That was a blessing to me. But to think of how heavy. Just stop and think. Every one of you have been around angry people. You maybe even were raised around angry people. Just think about how heavy that weight is that they put on you. Just think about how heavy. Now think about those around you that get your wrath and get your anger. And think about how heavy that weight is on them. It's no different. They're getting the same thing you got. A couple weeks ago, I told Amy, I looked at her, I said, oh my gosh, I'm becoming something I didn't want to ever be. Remember? I'm becoming something I never wanted to be. I always told myself, I'm not going to be this way or I'm not going to be that way. And I started becoming that way. And what a wake up call. What an absolute wake up call. That's what right there, I like when I get those revelations from God. You know why? Because he's saying, Dale, it's time to slow down. We got to get you out of that. We got, you know, this is, you're taking the wrong steps. Let's get you out of that. Remember, he says he won't fail me. And he says, wherever I go, he's going to be with me. Wherever I go, that's spiritually, that's physically, that's mentally. God is with me in all those areas. It's not just one area. We seem to forget. We like to put God in a little box. Here's God, here's me. When we start realizing that we are not bigger than God, that he's bigger than us, and we start realizing that we need him to take care of things and not ourselves, things just get a little easier. Things start changing a little bit in our heart and our minds. You see how we're considered crazy, the ones in this room, because we're changing. We're not normal. We're not the right ones. Because God has done something in our hearts and making us new people, we're the ones that stand out from the crowd, and we're known as the abnormal people. And you have all these lives out there being destroyed. And clearly being destroyed. Clearly nothing's going right in their life. Clearly things are not the way they're supposed to be. But then you go ahead and you want to sit there and tell somebody about something, how their life might be able to be changed. And they don't want to hear it. You know what? I told my wife the other day, I said, huh? I said, you enjoy, there's many people like her, who enjoy being in their tract. They're trapped. They're trapped in their own misery. Why are they trapped in their misery? Because they're more comfortable in your comfort zone. You're more comfortable in your misery in your comfort zone than to step out and let God change something. A lot of people are trapped in their comfort zone. Well, who's going to think about this? Somebody's going to think this way about me. Blah, blah, blah. Who cares? When they start paying your medical bills and your water bill and paying your food and your mortgage, then you should care. But they're never going to do that, so don't, who cares? We should really be worried about what God thinks about us. What does God think about your mouth? What does God think about your actions? What does He really think about what you're doing? Well, here's one quick way to find out. Get in your Bible. Get in your Bible. You're not going to be a successful Christian without reading the Bible. Sorry. It's not going to happen. That right there is the most important part of a Christian walk. It just is. You have to be in the Word. You have to read it every day. I don't care if... Listen, Amy's like, now we have a thing, now we're laying, sitting down, and all of a sudden we feel it. Get up, we'll get up and read. Get up and walk around. There's always time. You can make time for every other thing in this world. You can make time to read a Bible. Okay? Because here, and I'm not bragging, but I homeschool now, just like other ladies do and all that. I take care of my wife and kids. Plus, I'm homeschooling. I have other things. I volunteer twice a week down at Wellsprings, and I still read my Bible every single day. Every day. So don't tell me you can't do it. Turn your computer off. Turn your phone off. Turn your stove off. Turn everything off that's distracting around you, and get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. It can happen every single day. Don't tell me it can't, because it can. Ecclesiastes 7. Ecclesiastes 7. Verse 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. The Word of God calls an angry person a fool. A fool. Listen, if you're an angry person and you don't have that under control of God, don't get mad at me, but I'm going to tell you what you are, and the Bible calls you a fool. I believe you're a fool, and that's the way it's going to be. If you have a problem, then you go talk to God, the one who wrote this Bible, and He'll take care of that with you. He'll take that up with you, and I guarantee you, He's going to tell you one thing that you are, is a fool. It's foolish to be angry. What are you doing? Is it making you more of a man or a woman? Is it really? Are you really much of a tough guy or tough girl because you're angry? Really? I don't look at it that way. God doesn't look at it that way. Let me see. It says 69 times in the word fool is used in the Bible, and never once is a good thing. And that's how God looks at an angry person. He looks at him as a fool and not a good thing. 69 times the word fool is used in the Bible. Yes, I like to do word studies. Thank God the pastor. He got me into that. I mean, just what an awesome thing. If you don't think you can find time to read, do a word study. Do 10 a day. Put a word in there. Fool. Read 10 of them for the day. Okay. Once you get into it, you'll say it. But 69 times it's in the Bible, the word fool. And I'm not talking about foolishness and all that. I'm talking about just the word fool. 69 times is in there as a bad, bad thing. It's not a good thing to be called a fool by God. Because if you're called a fool by God, then you must be a fool here. Then people aren't looking at you like you're a fool. You just don't see it. You really just don't see it. But God is plain about what He said. That's the good thing about a King James Bible. It's plain about what it says about you. A lot of people don't like being told what they are. A lot of people walk away from Christianity. Why? Because they're finding out what they really are. They don't like it. James says it's like looking into a looking glass. What other book in the world does that for you? What? What other book in the world, tell me right now, raise your hand and tell me, will sit there and tell you exactly what you are, show you what you are, but then give you the remedy. God doesn't just leave you out there hanging. Once He reveals something to you, now it's time to get it right. That's the good thing about serving our God. He'll get it right with you. We have the issue with that. We as human beings don't like seeing what we really are. And I've seen some pretty ugly things before I was a Christian and even saved as a Christian. And I just have one thing to say, and that is thank God that He saved me and didn't make me into the person that I could have been. Thank God. You know, it's no big guess. Most likely my mother would have been visiting me probably for the rest of my life sitting in the prison cell if I didn't get saved. That's just the way it would have been for me. You know, I would have been okay with that. I really would have. At that point in my life, I would have been okay with that. Going to jail and prison and all that did not bother me. Matter of fact, it was when I came out that I had breakdowns because I couldn't handle being on the outside. I went back into a mental hospital. I was dating Amy at the time. She brought me to the mental hospital because I just couldn't handle being on the outside. That's how long I was in jails and prisons for. I would have been okay with that, to be in for the rest of my life. But thank God. Thank God. Could you imagine that, Mom?
You work out in the daytime, though.
Huh? That's right. Well, could you imagine coming to visit me the rest of your life? Yeah. Thank God for Jesus Christ. I mean, thank God for His blood. Thank God for what He did on the cross. And He does it for every single person in this world. He has done it. And He's waiting. He's waiting. But nobody wants it. There's too many people who don't want it. Yeah, sure I want it. I want to get saved. I want to have a changed life. You know, everything was bad. It's called cops on each other. We've been drinking all night long. Yes, I need to have a new life. Something needs to change in my life. Somebody tells them how to change it. Come into church. Listen to the preacher. Just, you know, get underneath the preacher. Listen to him. Get in the Bible. You know, get with some people who care. I don't want that. They wake up the next morning and forget about it all. Or they'll come for a few days or a week and everything will be okay. Oh, we're good now. We can handle things. We don't need to come to church anymore. We don't need it no more. And just walk away. Angry. And guess who they're mad at? They're mad at us. They're mad at the church people because we didn't do something for them. That just don't make sense to me. I mean, I'm not the smartest thing to ever fall from a tree, but I know one thing. That doesn't make sense to me. That's a fool. That's a fool.
Yeah, remember when I called the board and got you close to me?
Yeah. That's a whole other story. That's a whole other story. I'm going to finish here. It says, well, without Jesus and living in this world, there's a very thin line that's stopping us from being that type of person. When you're angry, and the devil gets a hold of your thoughts that are in your heart, and he gets a hold of that and starts turning them into wicked devices, how far away are you from becoming that person?
No.
How close are you? How thin is that line? I know if it wasn't for the blood of Christ, I would have crossed that line. And I thought, listen to me. I'm going to say it cleanly, but I'm going to say some stuff. How close are you from being a pedophile? How close are you from doing things with young girls and boys that you shouldn't be doing? How close are you from being a dealer, a drug addict, a pregnant girl at 16, 15, 14? How close is all that? How thin is that line that when the devil goes ahead and it gets into your heart and it takes and starts running away with the wicked devices? Listen, people, you're sitting in this room and you can hear my voice. You have wicked devices in your heart when you're angry. And the devil's waiting to run with them. How much more are you going to keep giving to them? How close are you becoming to making those a reality? How close? One more time? Maybe one more? Maybe I can get with one more? Maybe one more? I'm just telling you now, you're treading on dangerous ground. You're walking on thin ice. Listen, God is a merciful, long-suffering God. But I'll tell you this, He's also going to stop at one time. He's going to say, you know what? I've been long-suffering. They were diligently seeking me, and then all of a sudden they're stopping. Now they're turning back to their own ways. How much more? How much more? How much more do you think He's going to keep warning you? How much more do you think He's going to keep showing you? God wants those people with a diligent heart to come to Him. He wants everybody. He says, I'm not willing to any should perish. He's not willing to any. None. But go ahead and keep turning your back on God and thinking that you're okay, that you can get away with it one more time.
No.
And then when He takes His hand off of your life, who are you going to come running to? If you can run to anybody and you're not burning for eternity, who are you going to run to? There's nobody that can save you from the wrath of God, just to let you know that. Not pastor, not me, not anybody can save anybody from the wrath of God. I'm just going to let you know that right now. I know some pretty tough guys. I grew up with some pretty tough guys on the street. And they couldn't stand up to the wrath of God. Me, back in my best days, being a gangster and a thug and all that, I couldn't stand up to the wrath of God. I couldn't even stand to just the breath coming out of His nostrils. I'd be wiped clean. You know, your past and the things that you hide in your heart, that not a single person in this world knows. We each have things in our heart that nobody knows. I have things in my heart that I'll go to the grave that me and God know about. And you have those same things in your heart. And you know what? The devil's waiting for you to turn them loose. He's waiting for you just to go ahead and open it all up, give it to Him, and then He's going to take off running with us. He's going to take those wicked devices and He's going to run somewhere you wish you never were. And then you're going to beg God and say, this might be too late. It just might be too late. You know, this anger thing is not a game. This anger thing is a real thing. This is a reality that this anger man brings people to a place they should not have been. I've done jail time for my anger. Just strictly my anger alone got me in trouble. I'm not even talking about the drinking and the drug. I'm talking about just my anger alone. Anger is not something you should play with. It's a poison. It's dangerous. Bitterness eats you up like, you know, cancer. Well, guess what that anger does? That anger does the same thing. I used to have, I mean, God, I didn't even have a fuse, I don't know. I really just didn't have a fuse. But thank God I got a fuse. Thank God He's given me a fuse. Thank God I can walk away from things now. Not perfectly, but I can walk away from things. Thank God I can just do things differently than I used to do it over my anger. That, to me, that's a miracle. I mean, my wife sees that since I got saved. She sees that, you know, God has dealt that with. Why? That's what He wants. He doesn't want angry people walking around angry. God can stop you from crossing over. Look back at your life. What is living this way done for you? Are you a better person because of it? Are you living a better life because of it? You can, and Jesus is waiting. Jesus is waiting to say, come, let me help you with this problem. Anger is a problem. Anger is a serious, serious issue. It's a problem that people suffer with, and they don't want it. They don't want to admit it. They don't want to. Name an angry person that wants to admit they have an anger problem. I mean, unless they're ready to change. I didn't go around telling people, yeah, I have an anger. I have an anger problem. I need to go to Angry Anonymous. You know, none of that's not. People don't do that. They should have an Angry Anonymous. Because anger today is so. I mean, it's a disease, I think. That people just. They want to hold on to that. And people get addicted to that anger. Think of the power behind anger. Think of the power. Now just think of all the people sitting just in this room alone who have had it happen. You think all the bad stuff that ever happened to you in your life. And go ahead and just light that fuse and let you turn loose with that anger. You see? Quite a few of you are shaking your head. No. That's right. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine what it would be like? The anger. I used to tell Amy, I am so afraid of my anger. I used to cry because I was so afraid that I was going to hurt Amy or my kids. And I was so, I mean, I tell you, I was afraid because I was so afraid that I would not be able to control my anger. I mean, absolute fear in my life was that, please, Lord, don't ever let me hurt my wife or kids. Please, I'm afraid of my anger. And God said, I'm not going to let you do that. And He has not let me do that. And I believe it's only by the grace of God that He's done that for me. He has delivered me from that anger. Would you agree with me, Amy? He has delivered me from that anger. I still get mad, but I don't get angry. You ask my kids. Sneak up to my house. Do whatever. Come do anywhere you want. And just see how I handle things. And you won't always see me perfect. But I don't have that anger. I don't have that anger like I used to have. I don't have... Listen, it's a hurtful thing. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting the people around you. You're hurting your relationship with anybody and anybody that you come in. Listen, this anger is not a fun joke. It's not a game. It's not something that should be played with. This thing needs to be extinguished and it needs to be put out and it needs to be stopped. I was talking to... the Montgomery's the other day, and Chris looked at me, and I just looked at him, and I mean, it was a precious time we had together. I said, Chris, it stops with us, brother. I didn't realize the things until Chris started giving his testimony to the stuff that he went through. And I said, Chris, it stops right here. It stops right here with the Montgomery's. It stops right here with the Morris. And he went through some angry situations with his family. I said, Chris, it stops right here, brother. I said, right here, and I beat on the table. I said, it stops right here. It stops with me and you, Chris. It stops right here with us and our kids. They don't have to go anymore. It's done. It stops right here, Montgomery. It stops right here, Maury. Who else is going to stop it? Nobody else is going to stop it for you. It has to stop right here. That cycle has to be broke right now. It's done with. Chris? What do you think, buddy? He just looked at me and said, you're right, Brother Dale. You're right. I said, yes, sir. We're right. We're doing it. We're breaking this cycle. It's over with. The devil's won way too many times. This world has took over way too many people. America has destroyed what a family is one too many times, and we're not putting up with it no more. And it's time that more of us just stand up. Get rid of the anger out of your life. Stand up against the devil. Don't give in to him. Why do you think it says, don't give in? Let me read that for you. Ephesians 4:26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Why do you think it says, don't give place to the devil? Because he's waiting for your heart. He's waiting for your ideas. He's waiting for you to go ahead and turn loose so he can take them away with it. One more family destroyed. One more person knocked out of the way. I'm winning. That's what he's sitting up there telling me. He said he'd like the Most High God. Now he's got his own Christianity. He's got his own Bible. So now he's going to make you live any way you think you you can. And then guess what? One of his biggest things is anger. He's going to hold on to that anger just like you hold on to it. Now you and him are agreeing on everything in your life. Just imagine this. Just think about this next time you get angry. I'm agreeing with the devil. The one who destroyed my family, the one who has destroyed my life, I'm now agreeing with. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about agreeing with the devil and what he's done to you in your life? How do you feel about that? Then get rid of it. Stop it. Break the cycle. Let it be done and over with. Break the cycle like me and Chris said. When we sat there and looked at each other, I said, the cycle's over. It's done with this family. I'm done.